want to give you exactly what God's given me. If you got Gospel John chapter number 15, say amen.
Amen.
If you would, if you'd like to stand with us this evening, you can. We want to read the Word of God. We want to give exactly what God's pressed upon our heart to preach. And it says here, these are the words in red. Some folks like to call it, say, these are the words of Christ that says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. That's an amen right there, isn't it? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord and precious Savior, Father, we thank you once again, Lord Father. I want to say thank you, Father, for your love lifting us, Lord Father. How you lifted us, Lord. You are love. And I guess it was fitting to finish it up with how you reached down your hand and lifted us up. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, for this word. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would anoint me in this preaching. As I was thinking today and meditating today in a lot of things of this world, Lord Father, a lot of men look for things and desire things and look for things to say that they have accomplished something. Lord, tonight all we're asking, Lord Father, is for you just to honor your word and speak through us, preach through us, Lord, and that we would honor our vows, Lord Father, as in live for you and adopt these things into our life. Father, I pray tonight, Lord Father, for all of us, Lord, as we believe your word is true, there's not much time left. But Lord, we may be confident, not be ashamed that you're coming. But Lord Father, we have no reason to doubt or fear, but solely trust in you. Now, Lord, before we leave tonight, above all things, Lord, we give glory and honor and praise to your high holy name. And that, Lord, when you point out something in our life, Lord Father, that we would not put it off or push it away, or put it on a shelf and say it's a to-do list. But Lord, Father, we would address it when you say address it. It's in thy son's sweet precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Tonight we want to preach on abiding, and that to abide, just the word abide. We want to preach on abiding in Christ also. But we want to preach on why we should abide in Christ. There's many of reasons. I guess we could go through the litany list of the things that we could say of why we should abide in the Lord. But here in this scripture, Jesus is continuing on speaking and preaching unto his disciples, as he did in the 14th and the 13th chapters of the Gospel of John. We all like the 14th chapter. He's telling them about how he's going away to prepare a place, and that where he is, they may come also. And he's preaching and telling them that there is a way that they should know to go. And they said, and Philip said, what is the way? And he says, I am the way.
Amen. the truth and the life. But can I say today, there's a lot of things that go on, and there's a lot of things that's been given in this life, or as in the life of the believer, a lot of things, twists and turns and avenues and things that people get hung up in or caught up in. And this tonight, can I say that there's one thing that a believer needs to be doing, and that is abiding in Christ. He says in this scripture, he's likened it unto a vine, and his Father is the husbandman, and that we are the branches. And he's telling us that we should abide in the vine, that we should abide in Christ. And can I say this? When you abide, that means there's just much more than just a passing by or a acquaintance or a first-time impression. But it's a life-changing experience when you abide in Christ. Can I say this even? That when I was thinking about the message or thinking about what God has laid upon my heart, the first thing he says is, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman. And he's speaking unto them and he's talking to them. And he says that there you are clean every whit. You are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Got to thinking on the first part of that, how he had spoke the word, he preached the word, or he shared the gospel with the disciples. And if you can say tonight, he shared it with us. And how this word will clean up a man's life. I've often seen these things, and I was reminded of some things today about how man looks at this or looks at that. I know there's people that I've come across with, and when they have been called to preach or been called to do something, it's about doing or making sure that everybody else knows what God has asked them to do. But can I say, God showed me something a few years back. It's not man's approval that we should be seeking, but it should be God's approval that we should be seeking. Pray for me. My throat's trying to close up. But tonight, I want to say this, that when the Apostle Paul said in the book of Galatians, in that first chapter, he said, do I now persuade men or do I persuade God? He said, if I should please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And tonight, I want to preach on about that abiding in the Lord. When you abide in Christ, the first thing you got to know for sure, or the first step to abiding in the Lord is the simple plan of salvation. You must be born again. I've often heard this, and somebody says, preacher, you guys preach the same thing. Well, the same thing has been preached throughout years, Brother Howard Faulkner, and it ain't changed. It ain't got old. It's still fresh. It's still brand new today. And the people must be born again. And this salvation thing, I've often have looked and seen how the different waves or the different shades or the different likeness or putting forth the salvation plan throughout the history and throughout how people have said it. But I like it real good like this, that the Spirit of God comes and deals with the heart of man. And the word of faith is preached into their heart. It gets into their heart. The Bible says that when a man believeth with his heart unto righteousness, and that confession is made with his mouth, it's made unto salvation. And that change has taken place in their life. The Apostle Paul says, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Apostle Paul was a persecutor. He was a curser. He was a murderer, if you'll have it, of the church. But when Christ met up with him on the road to Damascus, and he got that encounter with Christ, it wasn't just the encounter, Brother James, that caused the situation to change, but it was Christ living in him that made the change in his life. That's how he could stand up and say in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse 20, he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live through the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ had took up abode in the Apostle Paul. Christ was abiding in the Apostle Paul. And can I say this tonight? If you are saved and you have been born again, the Bible says that the Father and the Son have taken up their abode in you. I've often heard people say this. They'll say, well, preacher, I'm saved, but God's not done with me yet. I still live the same old way that I used to. I'm sorry, friend, it doesn't work that way. When you get an encounter with God, it would change your life. Now, if you invite God into your heart and invite him into your life, he doesn't move back out. You can't kick him out. You can't run him off. He's there forever. Somebody say amen right there. I've heard people say, preacher, don't you think someone can walk away from God and lose their salvation? I had a person tell me that one time. And I said, well, do you believe you can do that? They said, well, I don't know. I said, well, maybe you ought to give it a try sometime and see if you can get away from him. And they looked at me and said, well, I have no desires. I have no want to leave God. It's the best life I have. I said, exactly, that's why. You never find nobody walking away and never again losing salvation and never or ever coming back to the Lord. But the Bible says that he will take up his abode and abide in you. Now, he's telling us tonight in this message, in this scripture, that since he takes up his abode in us, that we should abide in him. Can I give you some definitions on what a body is? A body is to rest or dwell. Have you gotten rest in Jesus Christ? Have you got a dwelling place in Jesus Christ? Have you got that peace that or that rest that comes to you, that knowing no matter how hard you've worked or how hard it might be, at least you know that Christ, that you and Christ are together? Can I say to dwell is to tarry or to stay for a short time? Or it's to continue permanently or in the same state, to be firm and immovable, to remain, to continue. If you'll have it, it's to wait for, to be prepared for, to endure or to sustain. In general, abide by signifies to adhere, to maintain, defend, or to stand, as to abide by a promise, by a friend, or to suffer the consequences, as to abide by the event that is to be fixed or permanent in a particular condition. What he's saying is that when you say that you're going to abide by something, you're going to take up your abode, or you're going to abide by Christ or abide in Christ, that means you're going to take up some rest right there in Christ. That there's nothing else in this world that you find rest in but Jesus Christ. That when you abide in Jesus Christ, that's the place that you run to. That's the place you escape to. That's the refuge that you run to. Oh, our Lord and Savior is a mighty tower. He's a strong tower. And we run into it and find that refuge and that rest. But we don't do it just temporarily. And sometimes it feels like that we do to get that temporary relief. But can I tell you, I'm glad it's a permanent abiding in that in Christ. I'm glad we can abide in him. I'm glad it's permanent. I'm glad they can't evict us. I'm glad the bank can't come take it from us. I'm glad the law can't take it from us. I'm glad they can't declare intimate domain over us abiding in Christ. I'm glad it's not by man, but it's by him. And the Bible says if we abide in him, that we can bear some fruit. And he's saying that we should abide in him. When you abide in Jesus Christ, when you abide in him, that means he holds all the rules. I thought about this when I've heard somebody will read off a statement and say, did you say such a quote, something, and a person will say, well, I'll abide by my statement. That means they're going to stick to it. That means it's theirs. They own it up. That's what they said they're going to stay with. And can I say this evening? If you want to know for sure if you're abiding in Christ, is when someone comes to you or the world comes to you, maybe not publicly around a crowd, or maybe it's just individually. Maybe it's at the workplace, or maybe it's at the schoolhouse, or maybe it's on the bus, or it's at the red light. Can I share this with you? I had some people do some things here recently that absolutely turned my stomach. It absolutely bothered me and got me to a place in a realm where I just shut down for about 2 or 3 or 4 hours. And I didn't know what to do. My initial reaction was to lash out carnally, was to lash out with anger, was to lash out with my premeditated thoughts. But God got a hold of me and said, now what are you going to abide by? You're going to abide by that testimony and that statement of confession of salvation and saying that you're going to stick with the Bible, you're going to stick with me, or you're going to abide by your word, or you're going to abide by your vow. Oh, I couldn't tell you how tempted I was to be angry and sin like a sinner. But the Bible says, be angry and sin not. I had to abide by that statement, Brother James Pye. And I can honestly say that even though it didn't feel good at the time, but it produced some fruit later on that night, because I got to lay my head down on the pillow that night and there was some rest there that I knew it wouldn't be there if I didn't abide in the Lord. So many times we don't realize when you abide with God, you're sticking with him. Even when people come against you. Even when people say some things about you. Even when people do things and things that they ought not to do. Even when you're betrayed, and even when you didn't even see it coming. And don't get me wrong, it's hard to do. I'm not putting myself upon a pedestal. I mean, I had to ask God to forgive me because I lost 4 hours at being angry and acting like a moron. Nobody else saw it. My wife and my kids didn't see it. No church members saw it. But boy, God sure did look down and see it, didn't he, Brother Eddie? I know some people won't say amen on that, but it is right anyway. And can I say this? I've heard somebody say, take the high road because it's the road less traveled. Well, I'm not taking the high road and I'm not taking the low road. I am taking the glory road. I'm taking the way that Jesus said we ought to take. And if I spend my time abiding in him, a lot of this other stuff won't affect me down the road. He says, abide in him. Abide in Christ. Dwell in him. Make him your habitation. Make him your life. Make him the house. Continue with him permanently in a same state. Be firm and be unmovable. I've heard people say, well, preacher, you guys are living in a different way or living a different time. You ought to come up off that stern, straight gospel doctrine. You ought to come off that straight, narrow way. It's 2016. You ain't going to get much people saved. Or join your church by being so narrow-minded. There's only one problem with us being narrow-minded. The Bible says, narrow the way and straight's the gate, and few be there that find it. If being on the narrow way is making me be narrow-minded, Brother Tony, then I guess I have to own up and say I'm guilty that I'm narrow-minded. By the way, I never forget the first time I got my lesson on abiding in Christ and being narrow-minded to his word. I'll never forget Brother Freddie Baker. He was down there preaching at a church house at a revival, and I was listening to him, and he was talking about this man come to him and said, a preacher, he goes, do you believe that if a man been married and divorced, he can't be a preacher? He says, I agree with what God's word says, and that is correct. And this is what he said. He said, well, you believe 50% of the people has been alienated and cannot preach the gospel in the pulpit of a church? He said, no, friend, I did not. He said, God had alienated 99% of the population of the world to keep them out of this pulpit. Why? Because it has nothing to do with the individual, but it has everything to do with abiding in Christ. Oh, yes, call us narrow-minded. Call the Bible thumper. Call us crazy. Call us holy roller. But oh yes, here for too long, call us gone. Because we're getting up on out of here, losing gravitation.
Amen.
Losing gravitation, and we're headed home on that straight and narrow way. Because we abide in him. You have to abide in the Lord. It's a must. It's a must. I've heard people say, well, preacher, do you know how hard it is to abide in the vine? I don't know how hard it is for you, but I know it's hard for me. There's so many temptations on every hand. There's so many things on each side that can lure your attention away from abiding in the Lord. But there's just some things that it may be painful to lose or painful to push off to the side, but that's what it would take to be in abiding. Can I say this, that when we do these things, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husband. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Can I say this? The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 13, it speaks of that sow, or that seed that was sowed amongst the good and honest ground. It said it shall produce 30, it shall produce 60, or it shall produce 100-fold fruit. But that seed's going to bear fruit. Now, I've heard some people say that these branches right here that didn't produce fruit, Brother James. I've heard some people say this is the Jewish people. I've heard some people say this is the Gentile people. I've heard other people say that it was the people who were saved and once lost. I've heard another person said it was saved people who wasn't living right and gone. But the one thing that always gets me, they get lost in the thing of having this scripture. They spend so much time trying to finger point who the people are. It's not bearing fruit, when they ought to be looking at themselves in the mirror and asking God, saying, what fruit am I bearing? What fruit am I doing? I hope and pray that I'm not one of them branches that's not producing fruit. Oftentimes it's real easy and it's real slick and it's real tempting at times to fall in a mindset of being critical of what other people's doing or other people's beliefs or other people's doctrine. But my Bible tells me that if I abide in the vine, if I abide in Christ, that takes up all the time that I have to do this. Am I hearing this preacher tonight? I feel pretty good right now. All I do know is this tonight, that if you don't bear fruit in that, if you don't bear fruit, if there's no fruit being bared, according to the scriptures I've seen throughout the past, I'm telling you, you don't look good for those who don't have no fruit to show. Because the Bible says you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. It's contrary. You can't do it. Either you're in or you're out. So many times, and I ain't trying to be mean, but our churches are filled with them. Our churches are filled with folk who thinks that since they might be on the tree, since they're there at the tree, that they're apart. May I remind everybody, just because the Gentile race was grafted in, they still have to be born again to be in. Somebody say amen right there. And oftentimes people think they're getting to be in the church as osmosis, or being blended in, or they just filter in somehow, some way. They'll get in the church pew and they'll get amongst the people. Can I say this tonight? I ain't trying to be mean. I'm glad that at Mount Zion Baptist Church, nobody can hide in the pew and try to blend in. No, it's not us pointing a finger at them, saying who's saved and who's not. But Brother James Powell, the gospel always tells on somebody. The preached word always tells on somebody. The Spirit of God always bears witness on everybody, including the pastor and including the preacher. Oh, you can say you're abiding in the vine, but if there's no fruit, the Bible says you're cast out, gathered up, and to be burned. Y'all hear this, preacher? And can I say this tonight? I want to get to that. There's two parts I want to get to, and this is one of them. Every tree, every branch that produces fruit, the Bible says He pruneth that branch, that it bring forth more fruit. Huh? It has some fruit, but God says, I want to see more fruit, so He's got to prune it. I had a friend of mine, some of y'all know him, Shannon Allen, come out of the house today. He said, Jason, what do you want to have done? I said, that maple tree out in the front yard. I said, I like that maple tree, but it's too big. I said, it's got to be cut back. It's making too much of a problem. It's leaving a mess. He said, how far down do you want to cut it? And I said, well, I'm going to cut it so far down. He said, you cut too far down, Jason, you'll kill that tree. I said, what are you saying then, Shannon? He says, you cut back some of that stuff off the top, the stuff that's making it top heavy, that stuff that's keeping it from doing what it wants to do and spread out and give shade. I said, what do you figure? He said, well, cut it down from 50 foot down to like 25, 30 foot. He said, and watch that tree take off. It'll be so much prettier when I'm done with it, when it blooms out. Now, can I say this? When I was growing up, Daddy had apple trees and had pear trees and had cherry trees. And we'd get them he'd get them pruning hooks, them pruning shears out, they called it something, looked like a big old bow and had a thing in it. And we'd sit there, and Bruce, he'd say, Jason, take out that limb right there, take out that limb right there, and take out that limb right there. And I'm sitting there whacking away on that tree, and I'm whacking away on that tree, and I'm whacking away on that tree, and I'm looking, saying, that has to be the ugliest looking tree that I've ever seen. And I'm sitting there thinking, going, this blade is dull as a butter knife, and I would hate to be the limb on that tree. And Dad'd get that black tarry-like substance, I don't know what it was, and he'd smack it on her, smear it on her. I'd ask, I said, what's that for? He goes, that's that tree dope. He said, you put that on there. He said, that way them bugs can't kill that tree. And I'm sitting there thinking, going, you done killed that tree by cutting all the limbs off. And I would sit there and I'd look, and that following year, and that tree would get leaves on it, but I would not see no apples on it. I wouldn't see no pears on it. And I'm sitting there thinking, going, that's a crazy old man. He done killed his tree. But Brother Tom, that following year, that tree would bloom out. And that tree would have some fruit upon that tree, on them limbs and on them branches. And by the third year, that tree was one of the prettiest trees in the yard. And I'd sit there thinking, boy, I'm eating my words now. But can I say something right now? Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes we get mad. And sometimes we don't see what God's doing. But sometimes that roughness and sometimes them hard times that's a-coming is God snipping off all that extra stuff that we don't need in our life. And what He's seeing is, like, I got some fruit on this one, but all this other stuff is choking out some of that more fruit. I want more fruit from... See, He'll cut a little bit of this off. He'll cut a little bit of that off. He'll cut a little bit of this off. He'll cut a bit of that off. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'll never forget, James, I said, and preached, and I preached, and I preached, and I preached, and then all of a sudden something happened in my ministry. I didn't preach that week. I didn't preach the second week. I didn't preach the third week. I didn't preach the fourth week. I'm sitting there begging God to forgive me. I'm begging God to forgive me, and I'm sitting there thinking, God, forgive me, but I'm sitting there stopping and said, I don't even know what I've done wrong. I'm just begging God to forgive me. And it went 2 months. I didn't get a chance to get up and preach nowhere. It wasn't that I was on fire to preach. I didn't even have a message. I didn't have nothing on my heart. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. But the whole entire time, Brother James, he was cutting some things out of my life. He was cutting some things I didn't need. What was he doing, preacher? He was making sure that not only was I abiding in the vine, but I would get really good and hung up in that vine and bring forth more fruit. If you're abiding in the vine, mark her down. You will be pruned if you've got any fruit. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Some people don't understand why. I don't understand why sometimes he does what he does. But I like that song Sister Jeri sung here a couple times. But things look so much different from the shepherd's point of view. I'm sitting there thinking, going, Lord, you done killed the ministry. Lord, you done killed everything. This Bible has turned into nothing but a two-page pamphlet. And it was, but I'm sitting there thinking, and James, I've been times I've sitting there thought, this thing is nothing but shallow water. But other times it's like that woman had the 3 pages in the Ziploc bag. It was like the Atlantic and the Pacific and the Indian Ocean all wrapped up into one. I couldn't find the depths. I couldn't find everything. It was so vast and so big. But can I tell you this? If we abide in Christ and we produce fruit, mark her down, you're going to get pruned. You're going to get pruned. Sometimes people quit church. Sometimes people quit what God's having them to do. Y'all hear me? Because they say, well, it's not going like it once was. I don't know why I'm preaching like this. I ain't on my notes. And sometimes I've sat there and I've seen some folks quit. I've seen preachers throw in the towel. I've seen pastors throw in the towel. I asked one pastor one time, I said, what's going on? He said, there was people getting saved left and right. He said, we was having some humdinger services, shouting every service. We was singing and shouting 2 hours. Everybody was losing their voice. I mean, just some fears, 3-4 years straight. And this 5th year, nobody got saved. And all the shouting kind of got toned down. And everything else just kind of went by the wayside. And I just figured God was done with me. And I just quit, resigned, stepped down and moved on. And maybe, they never stopped to pray and think about whether that God had probably put them up on the shelf and said, I'm going to prune you just a little bit. That all that good fruit you produced in the first 3 or 4 years, you wait and see what I'm going to do in the next 6th and 7th and 8th and 9th years of the fruit I'm going to put through you and on that tree and through that vine. And so many people miss it, as we preached a couple Sundays ago. They miss it because they got this mindset or this perception on. They think, oh, God's going to do this and God's going to do that. And somebody says, Jason, what do you think God's going to do with Mount Zion Baptist Church? I said, everything he wants to do. Amen. If we mind him. Amen. You have to abide in him. And if you're abiding in him, be ready to be pruned. But can I tell you, when he prunes you, if you know it, just be patient and abide. Stand by it. Because here pretty soon, though it's cold out, though it's winter out, spring's coming. Y'all hear this, preacher? Spring, you know what comes out in the spring? Them blossoms come out, Brother Randy. And I don't know about anybody else, but I just love that smell of that honeysuckle and all the flowers going. Now, it wreaks havoc on my sinuses, but I still love the smell. I love the smell. And the next thing you know, you'll get bees flying around. They're going from plant to plant. Next thing you know, before too long, you start seeing some buds pop up, some things pop up on them branches. And the fruit starts coming in. Y'all hearing this, preacher? A lot of times people don't realize this. When we are being children of God, being part of that vine, if we do it to our natural, what do you think he's doing spiritually? Y'all with the preacher? And out of all these things that I read, I wanted to get to all of them, but I'm not going to be able to get to them. I'm going to get to the last part. If my counting is correct, I think it says abide about 9 times in them first 11 verses. I could be wrong on my calculations, but I think it's about 9 times. It says abide, 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 abide. How important do you think it is to abide? For us to abide in Christ. The main reason why we should abide is because what verse number 11 says. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. That His joy might remain. And he said, that your joy may be full. If he's saying that his joy might remain, that means it may not. And if he says that that joy might be full, then Sister Edith, I think that joy might not be full sometimes. Y'all hearing this, preacher? And I'm reminded that you can actually lose all that joy. May I remind everybody, Psalm 51, David's begging. He's begging God to restore unto him the joy of his salvation. Not David's salvation, of the Lord's salvation. So many times, people find joy in their salvation. And don't get me wrong, I understand what they're saying, but it's better to have the joy in the Lord's salvation. Jesus said that my joy might remain in you, and that that joy might be full. David said that when he had sinned, he said his sin was ever before him. He realized it. He seen what he had done wrong. And when he saw all those things, he said he did not need to get saved again. He did not have to go back and rededicate his life. He was still living the life. He was still king. He was still doing what God was having set forth as the kingdom. But the problem was he had no more joy in being God's anointed. I've often thought about this and said this, and I've had people, and don't get me wrong, I've had people pull me aside and said, "Preacher, you're crazy. You're crazy. That's not right. You can't say those things." But everything is biblically. When David was a man after God's own heart, do you think God did not know what he was going to do? He knew about Bathsheba. He knew about Uriah. And people get caught up in these things. The thing was is that when David sinned, it separated him from the joy of salvation. And I want to say this tonight, and I'm going to move quickly on, and we'll hush. We'll be done, because God's by, I'm minding the Lord. So many people don't realize how fragile that joy is in salvation. The Bible says it's that we should have joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's that full joy. Can I tell you why it's so important for you to have that joy? Nehemiah chapter number 8, verse number 10, this is what it says. It says, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Preacher, I feel weak. I don't feel like I can muster up like I used to. I feel dragged down. Just everything. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, I'm glad we don't have to take vitamins. I'm glad we don't have to eat the proper diet. I'm glad we don't have to go to the exercise equipment. It says the joy of the Lord is our strength. I think me and Sister Shirley was the only one who caught that about the diet and the exercise. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Somebody said amen. Felt something right there. Somebody says, "Preacher, how come you're so..." Why is James Powell so excited all the time? There's joy in serving the Lord. There's joy in it. Joy that is so great and so mighty that it's not held to a geographical position. Joy that is so filling and so strengthening that it's not confined to man's belief or a perception of his mind. He told Nehemiah, he said, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Now, I've seen so many people that's weak and so many people that's no longer as strong as they used to be in God. They're no longer as strong as they used to be in the world. They're no longer as strong as they used to be when they sing. They're no longer as strong as they used to be in doing the things they have to. I've heard some people say, "Well, preacher, it's just that we're getting older." Or, "Preacher, we're just so busy." Or, "Preacher, we got too many irons in the fire." What it is the joy of the Lord is not as full as it used to be. The joy hasn't hit the full meter on the gauge. We think we got more in the tank than what we've got. I'll never forget, I was following my buddy home from work. We had a switch car. I was going from being on call for him to being on call. He says, I'll follow you home in the county truck, and then I'll pick you up. I'll go home and you can have the truck. And he goes home. We're done for the day. He calls me and says, where are you at? I said, I'm driving down up 48. He says, I run out of gas over here on 48. I ran out of gas. He just come pick me up. When I pulled over, I said, what's going on? He says, well, my truck is telling me I've got a whole lot more in there, but I ain't got no gas in the tank. And sometimes people will sit there and think, well, I can do this or I can do that. Or why aren't things going on the way that they should have been? Why am I as happy as I once was? And the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Sometimes it's not that person or this circumstance or that circumstance. Is where is your joy at when it comes to the Lord? Secondly, in Psalm chapter 16, verse number 11, the Bible says, the Lord will show you, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It means a whole lot to get in the presence of the Lord. You know, some people get upset and say, well, you shouldn't say that you should watch who you run with or watch who your kids run with. And they say, you shouldn't be that way. They say, you're separating folks. You're separating folks. Well, I'm sorry, friends. The Bible says that Jesus came to bring a sword. That's separation. You can't get in the presence of the Lord when you're in the presence of sin in the world. Amen. I've heard people say, well, preacher, I'm going there to bring them up. 99% of the time, they're going to bring you down. Yeah. Ain't that right? Yeah, right? That is right. He says, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment. But listen to this, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Sister Lois, it don't matter how bad it gets at night, we can always know this, joy is coming. Amen. In the morning. People's like, I don't know why this happened. I don't know why that happens. Where's it all going to end? It's all going to end in the morning. And if you're saved, there's joy. It's going to be there in the morning. Psalm chapter 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You want joy? Let God burden your heart for sinners. Let God burden your heart for the church. Let God burden your heart for loved ones and friends. Let God burden your heart for the ministry that God wants to do. Let God burden your heart. I sat there and saw a video today. Somebody had shown a video. They showed this couple, and it was the first time that they was ever going to get to see their adopted newborn baby. And they was playing some Christian song in the background, and this person who had put the video up says, can't help but cry. Now, I think I'm a pretty stout fella. I don't think there's too many things that could cause you to cry. And that woman come out holding that baby, and that daddy-to-be just dropped his face into his hands. Dropped his face into his hands. And the mother done the same thing. And they cried, and they cried, and they cried, and they cried. But it wasn't tears of sadness. It was tears of joy. They spent time in prayer. And the caption said, oh, for the love of God. So thankful that a woman chose to have someone adopt her baby than to abort it and kill it. Oh, sometimes the future looks so bleak when you see how the world puts it. But oh, if you'll just sow it in tears, you'll reap it in joy. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And it's your strength. Isaiah 12, verses 1 through 3. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. Thank you, Lord, for your anger being turned away. And thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I would trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. With joy. With joy. Romans 14 and 7. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I could sit here and could go all night long and tell you why we should be joyous people, a happy people. Make a joyful sound unto the Lord. I wonder, are you running a little low on joy this night? I wonder if you're running a little low on, maybe you got the wrong joy. Maybe you found joy in other things and you thought you was following the Lord and they've proven out not to be. I've been guilty of that. I've chased messages. Chased them and studied them. And come to find out that's not what God wanted me to study. I've chased the wrong joy. But I'm glad in Him there's fullness. And it's His joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I wonder tonight. I wonder when you get up in the morning, do you dread the morning? I wonder when you come to church, do you dread coming to church? I wonder when you go to work, you dread going to work, you dread going to the store, you dread going to the Walmart. You can't find no peace, no rest, and there's nothing that you can find true joy in. There's only one place you'll find true joy, and it's in Christ. If you're saved tonight, here's how you know you'll get that joy. You abide in Him. When everybody else says no, I talked to a woman not too long ago. She says, my husband doesn't want me to come to church. It's an argument every time I go to church. All he wants me to do is stay home from church. What should I do? I said, go to church. I said, does he absolutely forbid you to go to church? She said, no. I said, then go to church. She said, but it's going to be rough at home. I said, I ain't saying it's not going to be rough at home, but here's what I'm telling you. If you put it in God's hands, you put it in God's hands. Now, this woman got so close, Brother James, she told me, she goes, I even thought about leaving my husband. That's what she said. And she goes, I know you're going to tell me that's not right. I said, you're absolutely right. I'm going to tell you that's not right. I said, you stick with the Lord. He's never let nobody down. Y'all hear this, preacher? Don't get tightened up on me now. I'm giving you the truth. She said, what do I do? I said, pray. Don't everybody hate it when you talk to a preacher and say, what should I do? Pray. Every time, pray. How should we do this? Pray. Just pray. But it is, you pray. Sow it in tears. Get burdened with it. And give it to God. Do you know what happened a couple months after that conversation? Guess who showed up at church? I'm telling you, I have not lived this saved life, Brother Thomas, you and Geneva have. I have not. I hope if God tarries, I get to live a long life in salvation. But I've lived long enough to know that you can't go wrong counting on God for everything. For everything. I don't understand. Give it to God. I don't understand. Give it to God. I don't know what to do. Give it to God. I'm frustrated. Give it to God. Hey, don't sacrifice the joy. Don't sacrifice abiding in the vine for some other things of this world, nor your own way of thinking. Too many times people fell by the wayside. I used to allow so much to rob me of the joy and that of the saved life with God. And I'll be guilty of it maybe sometime down the road. But the one thing I know, I don't have to go far and realize that the joy of the Lord is my strength. That Jesus Christ, that I wrote these things to you. These words, I wrote these to you. That my joy might remain in you. And that this joy might be full. I wonder tonight, if we sing Amazing Grace, I wonder tonight if somebody's running a little low on joy. Maybe you've had a rough week. Maybe you've been in some battles. And everybody's in them. If you can be full, you can start running low. Mercy's renewed daily. Joy is something we have to seek after and get in the presence of the Lord.